Godwin, Real Six. Now, before this happened, we're talking about your time at HMS Collingwood at Fareham.
Yeah.
But before the race you just mentioned, you actually caught pneumonia. Could you tell us that story?
Actually, that was before the punishment.
Yes.
That was before the punishment. And what had happened was, I was sweating in my bunk. And I happened to say to the chap underneath me, I says, do you think anyone here got any aspros or aspirins? Aspros, I asked for. And he got up and he says to me, what's the matter, Pat? I says, go, I says, I'm sweating. He says, you don't look too good. And he's gone and got the duty petty officer. Duty petty officer's come down. He said, don't move. And he threw some blankets on me on top of the bunk. He's gone back to the office and phoned up the sick bay. They sent a small ambulance round and they took me to the sick bay. And we'd only been in there a fortnight. Or I'd only been in the camp just over a fortnight. When they got me down there, doctor checked me over. You've got pneumonia. I thought, for Christ. They wanted to get in touch with Owen to let them know. I said, no, don't want to. I don't want it. I'll sweat it out. Well, all right. I had treatment. I was in hospital just under a fortnight. Well, when I came out, the boys that I was with had already passed on. So I've now had to go with a new group. But I was a senior in the hut. I went back to the same hut. And I was senior rating in the hut because I'd already been in there just over a fortnight.
Now, while you were in hospital, something rather unpleasant happened because you were sort of conned out of your national savings certificates.
Well,
do you want to tell that story? Or
what happened was, my mother wrote me a letter asking me, would I write a letter getting permission for her to draw her certificate? Now, that's one certificate, 15 shillings. She wrote saying she could do with the money. So I wrote a letter back for her to present to the National Savings Office to pay out one certificate. Now, you've got to remember, I had an old daffy of certificates there, 200-odd quid worth. Well, her and her bloody lover, basically all they required was my signature. And they altered the number on my letter. They drew the lot. And when I did eventually come home, and I said to my mother, well, can I have my savings book, my savings certificates? I'd like to get some money out. She said, you told me to cash them. I said, no, I never. I told you to cash one. I wrote a letter to cash one. But you've cashed a lot. Now I want my money. I never had it. I said, okay, you never see me again. I went back all for leave over that. When I got back, what have you come back for? I've got nothing to go on to. They even sold me a suit. What I sent home, shoes, all my civilian clothes, they'd sold them. Anything that was appertaining to me in the house, they got rid of. They sold it. All to go in a pub. And I've never forgiven my mother for that.
Now, I don't know, the next thing I'd like to ask you is how you got on with your fellow recruits, you know, both batches, really.
Oh, we got on wonderful.
What sort of men were they? I mean, what sort of same sort of background as yourself, or was it mixed?
It was a mixed background. And one of the things that I found was very good was you could get in an argument, and there was no malice between you. That argument, once the argument's finished, it was all over. It was all forgotten. You was friends. Because most of our time was taken up with a night time, like in the evening after training. Most of our time was swatting up. But you had to get a break sometime. Well, I can recall I must have spent the best part of what... Without my time in hospital, I should say that I had at least 5 weeks swatting up all the time. And in that 5 weeks, I only went to the Naffy once. And that was just to go and see what the Naffy was like. I didn't know what it looked like inside. And some of the other lads was the same. You see, it was swatting up, swatting up, swatting up. So you couldn't even go and get a cup of tea. You didn't know what to do. I used to, we never went ashore. When we did go ashore, I think I went ashore about 3 times in the best part of all my training. I think I only went ashore in Portsmouth about 3 times. And each time I went, I always brought back a bottle of lemonade. So I had a drink of an evening. Some of the other lads used to go ashore, and they used to fetch me back a bottle of lemonade, and they'd fetch one back for me. And that is how you found them. You were shipmates. You were all friends, and you all had to look after each other. And that is how it stayed right throughout my naval life.
Now, what about the instructors? What do you think of them? And the officers? Instructors first.
As far as the officers are concerned, you didn't have a great deal to do with them, only the divisional officer. Because you met him every morning on the parade ground. He was the one who gave the order. Each hut had its own instructor. And funnily enough, there was a free badge PO in charge of my hut. Now, he'd been brought back in out of retirement. His name was Riedlinger. And the name rang a bell with me. So I had to say to him, when he got my name, when he read out the names when we first went in there, he said, Godwin. He says, are you from the smoke? I said, yeah. So he says, what school did you go to? I said, well, does it mean anything? So he said, yes. He said, because I knew a Godwin in my school. He said, because I've been in the Navy quite a number of years. He said, I've been brought back for this training. So I says, I thought I recognised the name. He said, well, what school? I said, Johnson Street. That's it. He said, you got a brother? I said, yeah, he's in the Navy. I said, he's on the Furious. And he mentioned my brother's name. He said, well, I was your teacher. I nearly fell through the floor. But I got well with him. Because he was the type of man, because he's come out of retirement, more or less he'd gone in halfway through the First World War, and he served his full time. He was a free badge petty officer, and he'd retired and then come back in as a training officer. So I says, we're going to get on well. I said, but wait till I write to my brother and tell him who's here. He says, well, let me have his address and I'll write to him. I said, yeah, you're welcome to it. And I gave him his address and he wrote to him. And my brother wrote back to me and said, keep well clear of him.
But what were the other instructors like? I mean, were they all good? Were all the instructors good?
Oh, yeah.
They knew their stuff.
Yeah, we all got on well.
No, the instructors, were they all good?
Oh, yeah. They were thorough. You see, most of the instructors were old-time sailors. And they didn't, because you've got to remember, during the war, when they instructed you, they was instructing you as per back times, and which is unlike today. You couldn't instruct them today as what I was instructed by, because it's a different navy. You see, but we were still in the First World War class. So it came up to that. So it was all the same. Everything, like as far as seamanship was concerned, it was exactly the same. I used to get a little bit of extra tuition off of this Riedlinger. He sort of made a friend with me, knowing that I went back into the same hut when I came out of the hospital. He used to come and visit me in the hospital, and he used to give me some, go through my seamanship manual, say, well, read all about that, and I'll come and have a word with you about it, and if there's anything you don't understand, I'll let you know. And he used to visit me every couple of nights and come and see me. And through him doing this, I was getting advanced with my seamanship training, but at the same time, he was teaching me the international code on flags, which is not normally in the seamanship training. But he was giving me this while I was in hospital. So I was a little bit advanced over the lads in the up.
Now, you were there 14 weeks. Should have been 10. 14.
It should have been 10, but that was due to me time of being in hospital.
So when would you leave? Late August, or would it be into September?
14 it would be. It would be late.
September, late soon. September.
It would be September. Towards September, because... it would have been September, because we went on 7 days leave, and when I went back, I was given a draft sheet to go to Brighton, and I had to go down to HMS Vernon for torpedo training.
Now, what do you remember of that? What was HMS Vernon, Brighton? Another shore station, is it?
Actually, HMS Vernon was Rodine Old Girls' School. The Navy took it over as a training establishment. You've most probably heard of the Rodine Old Boys.
So you were at Rodine?
Yeah, that was Vernon. And you still had to do a bit of, not so much, you had to do a bit of square bashing. And because most of it was training on torpedoes and depth charges. Well, then we had to go down, after a little while, we had to go down town, march down town, what they call Dreadnought.
Now, hang on. Now, tell us a bit about the first bit of the choice first, first bit of the course first. I mean...
Well, the first part of the course was mainly electrics.
Tell us about that, then. What were you learning about electric?
Well, basically, it was all the basics of electric, magnetism, etc., magnetism, polarities, etc. You had all that. And then you had to do... They did give you a little bit of wiring circuitry to do. But it was mostly is magnetism. Dynamos all the time. And motors. This is what it was all about. Well, you only had that for a short period of time because the training was so fast, because they wanted torpedo men out quick.
Now, so the other two parts you mentioned were depth charges and torpedoes. So take depth charges first. Where did you learn that? Was that at the Dreadnought? And what is the Dreadnought in the town centre?
Well, actually, it was a mock-up of a battleship. And what they did was, it was more or less showing you what the big guns were, and it also showed you the torpedoes, which most battleships, the Dreadnought battleships, never carried. So some of them did.
So what about the torpedo training? Tell us about what you learned about torpedo
training. Well, as far as the torpedoes are concerned, It was mainly the guns of the torpedoes. As far as the torpedo was concerned, it was a question of the detonation, because you had to put a detonator in the torpedo in the warhead for striking purposes. And also, some was fired by air, and others was fired by electricity, like with a shockwave which spun a fan. But those with the air, they blew the fan to set them going and blew them out of tune. Whereas with the shock type, which was electric, as soon as the fan started, it blew out. That was mainly with the torpedoes. But you had a best part of 500 pound of TNT in there. And that was, you had a detonator that you couldn't even brush a feather across it or it would explode. It was very delicate. You always had to, when you carried them, you carried them in a box, which was, it wasn't polystyrene in, it was like a sawbell rubber. And they was in there, and you could only take one at a time. And when you took them out, you had to sit on the deck, hold them between your legs, just hold the box, lift one out, and then you can put it in the lock to go in and do it. The same applied to depth charges. Now the depth charge was, they weighed the best part of a ton, the depth charge. Well, they had, you see, with the torpedoes, they was all set for one distance. You can automatically set the distance according to how you fire them. But with a depth charge, you had a key which had the detonator in, so that when you put it in, and you had a key on it, well, with the key, you can set a pattern, like you might get a set a pattern C for Charlie. Well, now that would be the shallowest depth. But in a pattern was 10 depth charges, so everyone who turned the key, if he wanted C for Charlie, he went to one depth, one notch. He had to take the key out and show the key. If you would have showed the key, you haven't set. You had to keep that key in your pocket. Well, the shallowest was 50 feet. And that was the depth charges that was on the racks at the stern of the ship. On the guns, you had two guns one side and two guns port, two guns starboard. You'd have one of those guns, you set pattern C for Charlie, it'd go 100 feet. The other one would be 75 feet, but they were fired at different times.
These are the projectors?
These are for the decks. Well, if you just set that one pattern, they would all explode when they reached that depth. So you had a variety of different explosions. But you can go deeper, whereby you had deeper dog, X for X-ray, and they were going deeper and deeper before they exploded. And that is where quite a lot of them, the submarines, lost out, because they didn't know how far we can go down with the depth charges. That is why, and you always... And when anything like that happened, the ship always went at very high speed to do it.
We'll come back to it in practice. We're just training at that time. Anything else you were learning in training about either torpedoes or depth charges?
Well, it wasn't a great deal to learn once you learnt the basics. It's just a question of we used to go out on the torpedo guns.
When you say torpedo guns, do you mean the projectors? They're not normally called guns, are they?
Well, the torpedo tubes. Those tubes. You had various types, singles, twin, double twin, triple, and double triple. That was three above three, and two above two, or just singles. And we used to go out on the training field, and it was never, we only used singles. And we would go through the motions of firing them. Well, when we fired them, all right, they shot out the tube, but they landed on mats and straw bales. There was no detonators or anything like that. They were dummies. And it was you. There was only two of you that was on a tube. But you can use only one person on a tube, such as MTBs. Only needed one ST to be there. And when you went out there, that is what you done. And the same applied to the depth charges. They would actually fire a depth charge up, but there was no... The charge would go up and show you what would happen. But there was no detonators or any TNT. It was more or less concrete in a barrel. And that is our basic training.
And how long were you doing this for? That was from September to...
Well, September, I went... I bought the MTB in November. And so I was the only seaman torpedoman aboard that MTB.
No, there's nothing else about HMS Vernon then. That's all you remember about your time there. You qualified. What did you qualify as then?
Ordinary seaman torpedoman. OSST. Because when I finished training, when we finished the training, I was, and we passed our test, I was told I could now put a flash up on my right arm.
What was the test? What was the test?
As a torpedoman.
Well, what did you actually have to do?
Oh, the test was basically about magnetism, the depths of depth charges, the detonators on the torpedoes, the detonators on the torpedoes and the depth charges. And also, like, we had to know the settings for the depth charges. And that was basically what the test was all about. Because you had the two tests. You had one, one was down at Dreadnought, which was on the torpedoes, and one up at Rodine, which was on the depth charges. And also you had the magnetism test at Rodine. And they combined the two tests together. And you had to pass out on the both tests. If you never passed both, you weren't a torpedoman. You couldn't go into that branch. You had to go through all the basic training again. But after that, it was 7 days leave, which I just took and stayed in Portsmouth. And when I went back to RMV Portsmouth, walked through the gate, I get a draft yet, and there was five other chaps. We had to go round getting this draft yet signed by various officers to be released from RMV. That allowed us to go wherever they sent us. Well, the five of us had to go to, or six of us, there was five more than myself, had to go to Eridge. And we was taken to Parkston Quay. Well, when we got there, we was shoved in a motor launch and was taken out to MTBs. I was put on number 488. Now, there was five MTBs, but there were six of us. But one MTB had two ratings go aboard. He happened to be the leader of the pack. We formed a flotilla at...
Do you know which number?
At Eridge.
Do you know the number of the flotilla?
There was no number.
Now, can you describe what the MTB 488 was like, from as much as you remember? What was she like? I know you weren't on her that long, but what was she like?
It was a wooden boat. It was one of Vosper's. It was a Vosper boat. And it had two single tubes on, one port and one starboard. You couldn't carry spare torpedoes. They were loaded in when she was in harbour. You only had six step charges on wrecks at the back. You never had guns for firing them, like the Z gun. So basically, I was in charge of these two torpedoes and these six step charges. So I had the privilege of being able to fire the torpedoes on surface ships or drop depth charges on submarines. But I did have an assistant, one of the seamen, who used to come and I had to show him exactly what it is to set a pattern on the depth charges. And also, he'd come on the tubes, because there was air torpedo tubes on there. He used to come on and open up the air tubes for when I fired them. But the boat itself was a sub-lieutenant, was a skipper.
Do you know his name?
Oh, can't think of it now. Saunders or something like that. But he was a very good skipper, because he wasn't a passer skipper. Because when we went out, he used to tell, if you saw him put on his white sweater, like with a roll neck, you could all do the same. And he never condemned you for it. You could walk around with no hat on. But we only went out at night time. But when we done our training at Harwich, that would lasted just over
Hang
7 minutes.
What was the ship like below decks? You know, I mean, what was your accommodation?
It was all engine. We never slept below.
So you were just on deck?
You was only on the upper deck. It was all engine down below.
Now, what about your training? You seem to have done some training for about 2 weeks in the North.
That was this group.
Now, what? Tell me about the training.
Well, it was more or less. It was a group training. What was? You go out. You had dummy torpedoes. They would have a target, towed target, and you had to hit this target. They would have an actual submarine go out, whereby you fired dummy depth charges that did explode. But it exploded a white powder or a paint that would mark the submarine to see if you had hit it. And that was basically the training for the group. All the group done this. And and it was a question of the group keeping in sailing in line abreast, line ahead, different manoeuvres on the sea and all that. Well, after all that training was done and the group got to, each skipper got to know each order that was given from the skipper, like the group captain, that was when we all got the marching orders. We got 24 hours ashore, because we used to sleep ashore.
So why would you sleep ashore?
We used to sleep ashore at Ganges, at Shotley. Like there was a mess there, just for these torpedo boats that used to go in there, because you couldn't sleep aboard a torpedo boat. You had to sleep ashore, your kit was ashore. And the only time my kit went aboard the MTB or any of us was when we shipped out to Jib.
Was it comfortable at the Ganges?
Oh, Christ, yeah. Hell yeah. But you only got breakfast at the Ganges and you only got a supper. Your meal, midday meal, was on board ship. But that used to be taken aboard ship.